This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
School's back in session for a lot of folks, and that definitely is the case for my house. Everybody is officially back in school now in the Fry home. My husband's been going back for a few days, and his classes started today. But when you're a teacher and you're required to be back in the classroom, that's back to school.
You're back at work. Yeah.
You're working now.
Yeah.
My son started last Thursday, high school, and my other kids started this week as well. So it's time to get back into the routine. And we are all in here married to teachers. Does it dramatically change your home?
Oh, yeah.
Does it dramatically change your life?
Yes, it really does.
Are there positives and negatives?
Yes.
What are the negatives?
In the summer, I can sleep in, because nobody has to really be anywhere at any given time.
What's that? What time do you sleep into?
Oh, at the latest 8. Usually it's about 7 or 7:30. In the school year, though, I have to wake up when they wake up to help get the kids off to school. Otherwise, I am a jerk. I feel really bad if I don't do that.
Yeah.
So I wake up when they wake up.
Do they all go to school with her, though?
Yeah, they do.
So you don't have to take them. You don't have to make yourself presentable so much as you just have to help get them out the door.
Yep. These days. Now, when they were younger, they would go to different schools because of preschool and stuff. But now they're all in my wife's school. So she takes them to school. No bus or anything.
So when they leave, are you like, bye, suckers?
You know what I do? I work out a lot more in the winter months because I have a little more time with them not there. So,
like pumping iron?
Yeah. I mean, what I really want to do is get to the point where you see me and just my veins are just bulging all the time. Like, I don't want to look ripped, but I do want to look intimidating.
Just get it airbrushed.
My body?
Sure. Yeah, I helped you get a tan once. I can arrange that.
Because it's not a picture. I want this in person. I want people to see my veins just
You can
constantly.
Just get it airbrushed regularly. Maybe even tattooed. Get tattooed muscles.
Like they do on the sidewalk where you walk at a certain angle and it looks like it's jumping out at you. Like, do that to my arms.
Sidewalk talk?
Yeah.
It'll just get you a henna tattoo, so you don't have to fully commit.
Well, as long as it looks like, do I have to stand at a certain angle though to make them look like they're 3D?
I'm just gonna go ahead and say yes. Okay. Is there anything else that dramatically changes, just like with the flow of your week, and then when everybody else in your home, you've got three kids that are in school, your wife is a teacher, you're like the other two of us in here, just a bum that talks for 3 hours a day.
Yep. I've got a lot more after school activities during school. Mm-hmm. During the summer, there's a few things always going on, but man, in the middle of it, it is every night. Every night.
Is that started?
Mm-hmm.
What sport now?
Volleyball for my daughter.
All right.
Soccer and baseball at the same time for
my oldest son. Have you done volleyball yet?
Yeah, she loves volleyball. It's a little more recreational than like very competitive.
She's 9?
Yeah. But no, she's 10. And she really likes she really likes plays and stuff. So that's in the spring. She's involved in a lot of drama. And then my youngest, who's 7, he has started drums. So that's every week too now.
That sounds like a gift certificate bought by an uncle. You know what you should do, bud? You should play drums.
You know what? We kept kind of asking him, "You sure? You sure? That's really interesting." And he kept sticking to it. So
good.
We had to do it.
Do you get sad?
Do I get sad?
When your kids go back to school and are in a new grade? Is there sadness in, like, is there parental sadness between you and your wife at all?
No, it's more just managing everything. I don't really think of it as a milestone. Everybody's sad because they have to go back to do something again.
Yeah, but I mean, there's the obligation reset, but there's also the noticing your kids are another grade older.
That usually happens in the middle of the summer, at the end of the year. Right now, it's more like, let's just get through this.
Yeah.
So it's not a milestone in that sense.
Do you prefer just Ryan Wiggins, not for the whole family, but do you prefer when they're in school compared to when they're not? Is it better for you?
There are aspects of it I like better, like the mornings thing where I can have a cup of coffee or whatever. There's a little more peace.
You don't drink coffee.
I have teas, and they're kind of like coffee. I can slow things down a little bit after they leave, which I don't get in the summer. But I don't see everybody as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss that because we're just going for the whole school year. It's just the way it is. We like it. We would change it if we hated it that bad.
Which do you prefer?
I like the summer better.
You like the summer better.
Mm-hmm.
Does your life dramatically change when Mrs. Range goes back to work?
Yeah. Like small thing. She's usually gone whenever I leave for work now in the morning. She leaves for work about 20 minutes before I do. So she's usually gone by the time I leave for work. But what I really noticed, the big dramatic thing is being a math teacher, she always has lots and lots and lots of grading. So that's all she does in the evenings. And so I kind of lose my wife in the evenings because she's got four classes of advanced trigonometry or something that she has to grade, and it just takes forever. And I can't help her because I don't understand the trigonometry stuff anyway.
Just tell her to make the homework, just have A, B, C, D answers.
I tell her that, and she's like, no, you can't do that. So she's committed to her craft, and she wants to be a good teacher, so.
Annoying.
Like, just mail it in like those other teachers
Your wife has a lot of homework to grade, too.
Well, she's a literature teacher.
So writing and math.
Yeah, you just can't Scantron literature or writing, because she really teaches writing more than anything. So English in general, but writing specifically.
My husband teaches history and he teaches middle school. So and I've had this conversation on the air before. He's talked about how detrimental homework can be for certain kids. And he's always come at this. This is usually from like a middle school type of an angle, but For a junior high kid who is coming from an unstable home environment, to send them home with homework and have that be a huge portion of their grade. It's a very forward way of thinking, but like if you could make the school day 45 minutes longer, 30 minutes longer for an extra homeroom where you could still assign the work that would need to be done, but it would be in an environment where it was supervised. As a parent, I hate homework. I think homework is a mess. I understand needing to learn concepts and being able to do them yourselves. But kids who go to school for how many hours a day is it? 7 or 8?
7:30 to 2:30, yeah.
For kids who go to school all day, I mean, imagine if you worked an 8-hour job and then had an hour to 2 hours of homework to do every night, you would absolutely quit that job.
Yeah.
Unless it was really, if you were like the owner of the business, you would do it. If you were making a boatload of money and getting a ton out of it, you would do it. And again, this makes a difference in the age you're in. And I think that, you know, from a college, the whole college situation is set up entirely different as well, because you don't spend 8 hours in class a day. But do you believe in homework?
It's funny because we just, I think Monday, had this conversation. It's the first time we've had this conversation in a long time. Yeah, me and my wife, because she can assign homework or she can choose to not. And then we have three kids who get homework. And it all came from, I kid you not, I think we've had him on the show, Robbie Starbuck.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted something about homework.
Yeah, in Tennessee.
And I saw it, and I brought it up with my wife. I said, what do you think about this? What he said? It was something about how homework, you know, just like what you were saying. Like, it's just too much. And she said, I agree, which I was surprised because I thought she would be the opposite, because she historically has assigned a lot of homework, but it's not defined homework. It's more like, read
what,
this
you
book.
Don't get Does she give time in classroom for it?
And she does give some time in classroom. So she tries to make it to where it's possible to get it all done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more like, you know, within the next month, I need you to read this book. So it's kind of loose homework.
She's also teaching higher level high school.
Yes.
So, again, I think that there's a difference there once you get, because is what she's teaching an elective?
Some are and some are not.
I think if you're taking an elective, then sometimes there's a difference there, too. Like, if you're choosing to go down this path, then you're making a commitment to that a little bit more than, like, a basic civics class. You need to understand, like, civics is something that everybody's like, we should teach civics again. Well, I'm here to and happy to report to you that my son is a freshman in high school at a Lutheran high school taking civics. I took civics. I think people are still required to learn civics. I just think that maybe we're not,
it's
not really actually living it out in the long term as much, but it is part of what kids are learning in the classroom. I don't know the benefit. I don't know. I don't really see my kids. I don't really see the necessity when they spend all day at school. They've got extracurricular activities. I get like 2 hours with them at home after dinner, where that time should be filled with more schoolwork. It's not realistic. And
I don't
know that it contributes to the bottom line.
I think there's been a big shift on this topic, using my wife as a focus group, over the last 5 to 10 years, because she in particular agreed with that tweet from Robbie Starbuck that, you know, it's less homework is better. And I don't know that she would have said that 5 or 10 years ago, but we need to be spending more time together as families. And when you constantly fill up all the time, And some of that is just watching movies, and some of it is just doing nothing, but you're together. And when you're doing homework, that can be together at times, but it's not like quality family time. That's work time. That's not just hanging out talking time. And we have less of that than we ever have.
And it's probably what we need the most of, to try to reestablish relationships in the home where you do have time to sit down around a table and eat meals, where you do have time to talk about your day, where you do have time to just do nothing. I mean, the decompression part is going to make the rest of everything else make you focus more when you're applying yourself. I know that if I go, and I've done this before, especially coming into an election season, I will, you know, have to get up, get my kids ready for school in the morning, get to work, do a show, go do an event. Get up the next morning, do the same thing, do the show, go to another event, go to a meeting, go to a client thing, over and over and over again, to the point where I feel like I am about to fall apart because I have given way more than I actually have to give. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, it's the election season. On the other side of the election, I'll be able to take a break. I'll be able to relax. I'll be able to calm down. You know, maybe you're, as a student, preparing for finals or something like that, and it's crunch time. You got to focus. You got to, as the kids say, lock in. And then you get it done and finals are over, and then you can go on your Christmas break. But there are kids who come home in, like, third grade with an hour of homework. What is a kid doing in third grade with an hour of homework?
It's a good question.
I don't see any, I mean, until, gosh, I don't even, like, I feel like until junior high, homework isn't even, I don't know. I have such an anecdotal experience with it. I'm married to a teacher. I'm blessed with kids that so far have gotten good enough grades that we haven't had to worry about a struggle. But I know that absolutely, we have had issues and navigations that we've had to deal with each kid to try to help them succeed more. But I just feel like we live in a society where family needs to be prioritized and focused. And now that everybody's back in school, when you're trying to juggle all the things in the evening, you shouldn't have to say no to other things in your life because we have homework when you've spent the whole day at school.
I know the criticism too. It's that there are nations of the world whose kids are doing way better than our kids. Japan, Korea, for instance. I was just in Japan. Watch the culture. They go to school year round.
Mm-hmm.
They do not stop. They do 12-hour days. And that's including all the extracurriculars, and there's a lot of them. And they are pushed, and they do better in school. I don't know that comparing us to that is the right comparison,
well,
though.
The other thing is, too, a lot of these countries that are doing better than us, they don't test all of their students. If you like in the United States, the standardized testing, everybody takes it. From your advanced classes to your special needs classes, everybody takes it. In some of those other countries that are ahead of us, and I think Japan is one of them, the special needs students don't get tested. Their test scores aren't included in that. And so what ends up happening is that you know, concentrates the good education with kids that need more help or are incapable of doing well on a standardized test.
Well, I know that this is a time that is difficult for a lot of people. And, you know, you said emotionally you don't struggle with it. I do struggle with anything, anytime there are endings. It's hard for me. It's something that I've identified by myself that once I get to the end of something, I emotionally have to focus on trying to figure out how to move past that. And I've talked with several people in the last week who have been experiencing these firsts and these lasts. So when we come back, we're going to go to this. It's a Mark and Angel Hack Life post. markandangel.com, but it's 10 things we always wait too long to let go of in life. So I'd be curious to see if you guys feel like you hold on to these.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Things too long. Brad and Ryan, I'll weigh in myself, and we'll get your feedback also on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
We're all in the same boat.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We were talking a little bit about homework and school being back in session. And as I've mentioned before, and we'll continue to remind people, we are all married to teachers here. And it's a big part of our personal lives when school comes back in session, because our households all change. And for many of you listening right now, you've got kids who have just gone back, grandkids who have gone back. But there's also a large contingent of people who are sending their kids back to college or maybe off to college for the first time. Are you prepared for that?
No. In fact, I'm preparing my kids against college.
Like, how about no? How about just no?
Yeah, and I really have no idea what they're going to go into because they, especially my oldest two, are just very academic. So I could see them really wanting to go to college. But man, thank God my wife is a college counselor at school.
Actually trying to keep them from going to college?
Yeah, I don't want them to go to some sort of brainwash factory. I want them to go to a Christian college if they go to a college.
Yeah, and those cost a lot more money.
And they cost more money.
They cost a lot more money.
Yeah.
You also have to just make sure you raise your kids so by the time that they are at that age that they have a good foundation that you feel. Like, I've heard people say, like, I just hope it sticks. And you know, a lot of times that has to do with their Christian faith, or that has to do with the morals that you sent them. It has a lot to do with the politics that you hold based on maybe your faith or a moral structure or whatever is important to you, but you don't want them to go to an indoctrination factory, essentially. that's something that I've heard from people closer to me recently, multiple times, when kids get sent off, that you hope, it's like you hope you did it. You hope you did your part. Because then you let them go and they're gone.
Yeah, and look, no matter where you send them to college, I just think there are Soviet-style universities at this point whose entire point is to brainwash your kid.
Yes.
Whereas if you go to a school, and people say this, well, that isn't the Christian university the same way? Regardless of where I send my kids, they're going to have to make up their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So it's not as if they're going there and they'll never hear any other ideas. In fact, one of the goals of my household is that we talk about big ideas.
Sure. And you have to be open to that because you need to teach your kids how to think, not just what to think. Because when you go to college, they'll often try to pre-program a lot of that stuff. And that's a smaller conversation on the broader one that I wanted to have. I came across this blog post and it was published today. So this is a fresh post. It's not from any like major news source, but it's basically centering around the idea of us holding on to things too long. We're all in our early 40s and we are very much so getting to that point where when you think about your future, there are not a lot of shapes and colors that haven't been drawn and filled in for you. You kind of know what's coming, and the majority of things that happen next are endings. And I find endings to be the most difficult thing that I have to deal with in life. Emotionally, I struggle with it and I try to work past it with my kids. It's almost insurmountable at times, but as I've gotten through several of them, they become, you know, I consider it a peace that passes all understanding, because I don't understand why I have peace with it. Because intellectually I'm going, this is freaking terrible. This is awful. And yet I will still have an element of peace about it that I don't usually expect to have happen. But this article was written by Angel Chernoff, and it says 10 things we always wait too long to let go of in life. So we are right in the middle of it. People listening to us right now, they might be 20, 30 years down the road from us. There are people listening right now who aren't at 40 quite yet. So everybody's going to be at a different place in this. The number one thing is the expectation of how things, quote, should be. How easy is it for you to go, you know, this really, I think that the election is a fantastic example of this. The expectation of how things should be when they just aren't. Are you able to let go of that expectation very easily?
More and more as I get older, because the more you go through it, the more you realize nothing ever turns out the way that you want it. Nothing ever turns out the way that you expected it. And you have to cope more and more the older you get, and you get better at it.
It says try to use frustration and inconvenience to motivate you rather than annoy you. You are in control of the way you look at life. Right now, the expectation of how things should be for me is when I look at the news coverage and I look at the different candidates that are running for office, I'm like, what can I do? Because at the other side of this, regardless of what happens, I don't want to be thinking on November 6th, I could have done that. I could have done this. So, I mean, if you feel like you're in an uphill battle, that doesn't mean you don't go uphill. It just means it's more difficult and you've got to forge ahead and figure out how that is. What about Brad? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that one's one of the toughest ones for me, because I do have this like extreme like sense of what I think C.S. Lewis called it the ought, the way things ought to be, that, you know, the politeness in society, the kindness that should go along with it, as well as respect for others and stuff like that. And you can't control any of it. And the only thing that you can control is yourself. So like that article says, one of the things that helps me out is just focusing on what I can control and letting the things that I can't control go away.
I think that's a good point. Number two, the way things once were. So we're talking about the way we think, the expectations of how things should be. That's what we just discussed. But what about the way things once were, Brad?
I don't struggle with that one as much. I mean, sometimes
I was your age.
Yeah. Sometimes I look back and be like, wow, that was kind of cool, wasn't it? But I don't really dwell on it because, you know, with the way things were, all the good things, I also had a bunch of bad stuff too in those times. And that all, I haven't forgotten either side of that. And I think sometimes people forget the bad along with the, and only remember the good. And so I don't long for the way things used to be so much.
I think it's important to do that, actually, to compare it to the way it was, just to see how things are going. That doesn't mean you live there. And I really, though, don't think that I'm going to say American society, but it may be world society at this point. We're moving so fast. Things change so quickly that it's almost like it's you have to learn to move as fast as things move, or you're just not going to be able to participate mm-hmm. in anything that's going on at any given time. So I'm going to say no, that's not a real problem for me.
It used to be. If you've ever faced a situation where you have had a dramatic shift in your status quo and you're trying to get back to the way it was, you know, before a loved one passed away and holidays used to be this way and you're trying to like recreate it and you can't because that person is gone.
Mm-hmm.
There is a moment where you will realize that you now have an opportunity and yes, an obligation to create something new in that space for the person you lost, for yourself, and for the other people who are involved in that situation. You have to look forward. If you've ever had a situation where you've lost an important relationship, you've lost a connection with a place that was really important for you, that you counted on, people you counted on, a job where, you know, you gave it everything you got and the people just didn't back you up or they left you hanging and you lose that relationship, it's you will drown in thinking about the way things were. And it's really important to get to the point where you get on the other side and you go, it's time for something new. I think the very important thing about that part is that the way things once were is not gone. They always were like that. Just because they aren't like that right now doesn't mean that the memories and the experience that you did have is now all bad. Like, you still get to be blessed with the memory of what was. And as soon as you realize it's not like that anymore, and you can compartmentalize the thing that I love that was, the realization of what it's like right now, it's different. Whatever happened that you can't unchange, that exists in a separate time than what was, then you can kind of put those things in boxes, in my mind at least, and start to create a new box and make choices of what gets to go in that box. So when you don't have to lose what was special about what was good, and you can separate that from what has changed, sounds like a Kamala Harris saying, then I think that you can handle what comes next better. Number three, old mistakes and errors in judgment. Do you ever dwell on things? I mean, like, can you think of, we don't have to say this on the air, but like maybe big mistakes that you made, big errors in judgment that you had, that even though you're past it personally or maybe with the person who's in that situation with you, it just still kind of lurks.
Yes, but the further you get from them and the more it's okay, especially if that person is still in your life, sometimes they're not, it gets better because then you realize that forgiveness from God is instant, but forgiveness from people and the consequences of an action are not. And it's nice to see that you can have healing from something that you've done that either really was bad, or at least you perceived as bad, or caused something you didn't intend, or whatever. The more space you get from it, the better it is.
What about you, Brad?
There are things in my life that I wish that I could go back and change. I look back on it and it's like, man, I hurt people bad whenever I did that or said that or whatever. But you can't dwell on it. I have not forgotten it, but it's not at the forefront of my life. It's not at the forefront of my mind. But every time that I go back and think about some of these things, it's like a gut punch. It's like, man, that was horrible. Why did you do that? So, you can't dwell on it because it'll absolutely consume you.
Just because you can't doesn't mean you don't, though.
Right.
If I realize that I screwed something up big, I am in like hot laser focus pursuit to A, undo it, or B, annoyingly assure that the person understands that I did it and that I'm very sorry for it and I want to do anything I can to make it better. And that's usually, it's probably more honestly self-serving than anything. Like, I'm trying to absolve myself from something So I probably could do a little bit better at that. Number four, the need to control everything. Oop, guilty. That's me. The thing that about endings that permeates my very soul, like honestly, to the point where I know as a Christian that I should trust God in every step and phase of life. I know as a Christian that when the next thing happens, that it is my responsibility to trust God. This is part of my Saturday episode that I put up on our podcast, which I'm hoping that you'll, if you haven't subscribed to the Annie Fry Show podcast yet, on Saturdays, I'm going to be uploading a shorter thought reflection that has to do with tying in my faith with what I talk about on the radio. I do that on the radio, but this is just specifically towards that. But my confirmation verse is Deuteronomy 31:28, I think it is. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, the verse, like, that's a very famous verse. I think people who are not, like, super into Christian faith or whatever probably heard be strong and courageous or something like that. I have the Deuteronomy version as my confirmation verse. The verse that gets printed on everything is Joshua 1:9. Which says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous for the Lord your God? It's the same thing, essentially. But when I was looking at that to do, and this all happened, I did not, when I recorded what I recorded last Saturday, and you can go check it on the podcast if you want, I didn't plan it this way. I just thought, well, I'll talk about this because we're worried about the election, we're worried about the outcome, like, how do I handle these things? And that's kind of the intention of that, putting it on Saturday so I can put it all out there as me, speaking as a Christian. I know that when I'm on the radio, that you listening right now, you don't identify as a Christian. You maybe identify as a completely different faith, or you tried the Christian thing. It's not for you. And I don't want to punch you in the face when I'm on the air talking about who I am. I respect who you are. I hope that you respect who I am. It's a part of my foundation. On Saturdays, I kind of just go into it, and you can choose to opt out of that. But when I looked at the Joshua 1:9 one, which is later in the Bible, significantly later in the Bible than Deuteronomy, it starts out with, have I not commanded you? And I thought, oh my gosh, this is Dad going, how many times do I have to tell you, be strong and courageous? I'm with you. I got this. And when I'm struggling with the need to control, which as somebody who covers the news on a daily basis, I want to affect the outcome. I want to find the one little crack that I can fit in and change the situation so that I am comfortable with it. And that is not how it works. And like, the more you look at things to control, the more you realize, oh my gosh, I'm not in control of anything. Which is where the reminder comes in. And I think it's kind of actually even funny to me as a mom who has said, how many times do I have to tell you? And that's my mom voice. How many times have we talked about this? I've told you over and over and over and over again. Why do I have to tell you again? X, Y, Z. And God's literally saying that to us in the Bible. Like, listen to me. Look me in the eye. How many times do I have to tell you this? Have I not commanded you? And then he tells us to chill out. I got it. That's essentially what he tells us. Do you have a control problem?
Yes. That is probably the number one thing I have trouble with is I want to be in control. I want to know the future. I want to know what's going to happen so I can respond to it. And when it doesn't happen that way, I get a little upset.
I am such a control freak that my solution to not being in control is to completely absolve every single ounce of responsibility I will have in something so that I have control over not having any control. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, and I told you so. Like, look, hey, if you would have let me do
it. No, I don't even need to say it. Even if I think it. It doesn't bother me. Like if I completely wash my hands of something, it can happen. I can let it be. I don't feel the need to like peek around the corner to see how they're doing without me. That doesn't bother me. But it's very difficult for me to just be involved with simply only a servant heart.
Yeah, I understand that. I've done the same. But I've also gotten to the point where I know that I'm not in charge of everything and I don't want to be. And so I just kind of have to go, okay, you guys do it and I'll just do whatever you want.
Brad, did you say anything about this one yet?
I have not. I don't think that I struggle with control. I mean, there are certain areas and whatnot in my life, but I think as a general rule, so many things have been outside of my control in my life that even if I did struggle with it. It has been wrested away from me and I've been beat over the head with it. So I don't really feel like I'm in control, and I'm happy to be, what's the song say? I can play the background. I'm happy to be in the background and just help wherever I can.
Well, there are a few more on this list that we'll get to when we come back real quick. Plus the responses to today's YouTube live chat poll. Do you share your political persuasion? No, because it's no one's business or because you're uncomfortable, or yes, subtly you do, or you do it anytime you can. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Come say hi. Go vote in the poll. We'll be right back. We all been sometimes difficult to let things go to make you feel all right about those tough circumstances when you lose somebody, when you got to let go of a kid who's going to school for the first time. I think I'm a little more worried about that than like my children's weddings. I don't feel like the wedding is as much as the finality is if they go away to college. I keep telling them I'm like part of the building of a house that we're like, we're going to build a loft. It's an apartment. You don't even have to come see us. It's obnoxious. The fifth thing that is something that it takes us a little too long to let go of, fantasies of a perfect path or time to begin. Do you have, at this age, we're all in our early 40s, have you let go of like dreams that were to be that just aren't realistic and be okay with it?
My gosh, yes. 100%. Up until even like a year ago, I was still pursuing selling TV shows. And I think part of it is the economy of TV, that it's just a mess. Like even stuff that I thought was going to be true isn't true. But then also at this point in my career, I'm spending a lot of time on something that really could never happen.
And like, this is you're living your dream, man.
And this is my dream. I'm on TV right now, online. Hi.
So is everybody with a phone. But we don't talk about it. We're pretty proud of ourselves. What about you, Brad?
Yeah, I've let go of a lot of dreams. And like, part of the thing
was about, it your pro dancing career?
Yeah, it was. I just didn't have the right hips for it. Just...
His dancing is gross, though. I'm glad you gave that up.
Yeah, my hips lie a lot.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
But no, I found out that I enjoy this stuff more that I didn't even think that I would like, the surprises in life. Like, you jokingly mentioned this with Ryan, but like this job, being in radio, being a producer, doing anything like that was never on my radar my entire life. And it kind of came together and it was a surprise. And I'm like, I'm going for it. And this has been a blast. I've had a blast every minute doing this. And so I found it pretty easy to like let go of the dreams and just kind of see where life goes.
You know, too, Ryan, you saw the other side of this, too. Like that dream coming to fruition for Brad was not easy here.
It was a learning curve for sure. I would question you loving every minute.
I'm talking about before he got the job. The way that this show flowed into that position being made available for him to get something that he didn't even know was his dream.
Like, it was crazy.
That was really, really hard for me specifically.
You weren't even here.
No, I was in the hospital having a baby.
That's when it all happened.
Like the day after I got home from delivering Molly.
I'm glad I was here. I was here the whole time going, what's happening?
Yes.
21.
But I think our show is better for it.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly difficult for me, and it turned into something really good. And if you don't hold on too tight, you can look and see good things happening while they're unfolding. Number six, the desire for quick and easy results. Guilty.
Oh, man, me too. This is my downfall. I'm like, come on, let's have this happen a little quicker. Everything.
Brad?
Quick and easy results. Who wants to give me the hard and toil results? I really want to earn it and sweat for it. No, I just want stuff to kind of fall in my lap, but it just doesn't.
What about self-doubt? Do you have a lot of do you have more or less self-doubt at your age now than you did 20 years ago?
Less, but I never really had a lot.
Well, I was going to say, like a 20-year-old male.
Oh my gosh.
You're not really swimming in self-doubt, but maybe you are, but maybe you're not acknowledging it.
I'm not saying I had, I still am, and I'm okay with this, and I'm kind of cultivating at this point, because I'm like, look, if I can hang on to this into my 80s, 90s, I'll have a pretty good life. But, the sort of blissful ignorance thing.
You've monetized it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've made a career out of it at this point.
You've found your lane.
I'm fine with that.
Swerving into mind. Self-doubt, Brad?
Man, I had a lot when I was younger. I was always unsure of myself. I would say I was unsure of myself to the point up where I had my first heart attack. And then after that moment.
Top that, Brad.
You
or
should,
Ryan.
You,
sorry.
No, thanks.
Then I was like,
you should have seen me asking girls out in high school and college.
I'd have paid to see it.
It was completely ignorant of my social status. I mean, it would have been like, Ryan walks up to Cindy Crawford. I got a chance with her, I'm sure. You know, just a complete
idiot. No reason
idiot.
To think I wouldn't.
Yeah.
What's the worst she could say?
Number 8, daily relationships that make us feel like ourselves. Let others take you as you are or not at all. I am there. I have fully arrived at just being comfortable with the good people in my life and not.
It's weird because, yes.
In hot pursuit of trying to make people like me.
But more than anything, because of time. I just can't care. Yeah. I can't care.
I always wonder if in, how old am I? In 25 years when retirement time comes in, I'm going to be like, I should have spent more time making friends.
Yeah, maybe it swings the other way.
I'm really hoping that on the other end, there's more people coming out like into the sunlight saying the same thing. And I'm like, you'll do.
Yeah.
9, old life chapters that are still lingering half open. I don't have much of that.
Nah, not really.
I don't even know what that is.
I feel pretty in the moment, present. Last one, the belief that we always need more than we have. So contentment.
Hmm.
I'm not, I don't know. I'm kind of in hot pursuit of that still, I think.
Yeah, me too.
And it's not just money. Sometimes it's time.
Mm.
For me, it's mostly money.
Or it's money so you can have time.
Yeah, I want to buy more time.
Yeah. The YouTube live chat poll, we asked you with 228 votes, do you share your political persuasion? 7% of you said no, you're uncomfortable. Oh, look at you people.
You're
not uncomfortable. 10% said no because it's no one's business. So 17% of you said no. 29% of you said, yeah, you share that political persuasion anytime you can. And 55% of you are passive aggressively sharing your
that's
political
what I
persuasion.
Said.
And that's what I am, too. High fives to all of you and thumbs up to the Brads of the world who say, yeah, I'm telling it anybody anywhere, any way that I can. Thanks for voting today. Thanks for watching. Go to AnnieFryShow.com to contact us, give us feedback, listen to the podcast, and keep it here. Mark Reardon next. Chances when you lose somebody, when you got to let go of a kid who's going to school for the first time. I think I'm a little more worried about that than like my children's weddings. I don't feel like the wedding is as much as the finality is if they go away to college. I keep telling them I'm like part of the building of a house that we're like, we're going to build a loft. It's an apartment. You don't even have to come see us. It's obnoxious. The fifth thing that is something that it takes us a little too long to let go of, fantasies of a perfect path or time to begin. Do you have, at this age, we're all in our early 40s, do you have you let go of like dreams that were to be that just aren't realistic and be okay with it?
My gosh, yes. 100%. Up until even like a year ago, I was still pursuing selling TV shows. And I think part of it is the economy of TV, that it's just a mess. Like even stuff that I thought was going to be true isn't true. But then also at this point in my career, I'm going, I'm spending a lot of time on something that really could never happen.
And like, this is you're living your dream, man.
And this is my dream. I'm on TV right now, online. Hi.
So is everybody with a phone. But we'll talk about it. We're pretty proud of ourselves. What about you, Brad?
Yeah, I've let go of a lot of dreams. And like, part of the thing
was
about,
it your pro dancing career?
Yeah, it was. I just didn't have the right hips for it. Just
his dancing is gross, though. I'm glad you
gave
that up.
Yeah, my hips lie a lot.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
But no, I found out that I enjoy this stuff more that I didn't even think that I would like, the surprises in life. Like, you jokingly mentioned this with Ryan, but like this job, being in radio, being a producer, doing anything like that was never on my radar my entire life. And it kind of came together and it was a surprise. And I'm like, I'm going for it. And this has been a blast. I've had a blast every minute doing this. And so I found it pretty easy to like let go of the dreams and just kind of see where life goes.
You know, too, Ryan, you saw the other side of this, too. Like that dream coming to fruition for Brad was not easy here.
It was a learning curve for sure. I would question
no,
you
I'm
loving
talking
every
about,
minute.
I'm talking about before he got the job. The way that this show flowed into that position being made available for him to get something that he didn't even know was his dream.
Like, it was crazy.
That was really, really hard For me, specifically.
You weren't even here.
No, I was in the hospital having a baby.
That's when it all happened.
Like the day after I got home from delivering Molly.
I'm glad I was here. I was here the whole time just going, what's happening?
Yes.
21.
But I think our show is better for it.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly difficult for me, and it turned into something really good. And if you don't hold on too tight, you can look and see good things happening while they're unfolding. Number six, the desire for quick and easy results. Guilty.
Oh, man, me too. This is my downfall. I'm like, come on, let's have this happen a little quicker. Everything.
Brad?
Quick and easy results. Who wants to, like, give me the hard and toil results? I really want to earn it and sweat for it. No, I just want stuff to kind of fall in my lap, but it just doesn't.
What about self-doubt? Do you have more or less self-doubt at your age now than you did 20 years ago?
Less, but I never really had a lot.
Well, I was going to say, like a 20-year-old male.
Oh, my gosh.
You're not really swimming in self-doubt, but maybe you are, but maybe you're not acknowledging it.
I'm not saying I had... I still am, and I'm okay with this, and I'm kind of cultivating at this point, because I'm like, look, if I can hang on to this into my 80s, 90s, I'll have a pretty good life. But the sort of blissful ignorance thing.
You are...
I am fine with that.
You've monetized it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've made a career out of it at this point.
You've found your lane.
I'm fine with that.
Swerving into mind. Self-doubt, Brad?
Man, I had a lot when I was younger. I was always unsure of myself. I would say I was unsure of myself to the point up where I had my first heart attack. And then after that moment.
Top that, Brad. Sorry.
No, thanks.
Then I was like,
you should have seen me asking girls out in high school and college.
I'd have paid to see it.
It was completely ignorant of my social status. I mean, it would have been like Ryan walks up to Cindy Crawford. I got a chance with her, I'm sure. You know, just a complete idiot.
No reason to think I wouldn't.
Yeah.
What's the worst you could say?
Number eight, daily relationships that make us feel like ourselves. Let others take you as you are or not at all. I am there. I have fully arrived at just being comfortable with the good people in my life and not.
It's weird because, yes.
In hot pursuit of trying to make people like me.
But more than anything, because of time. I just can't care. Yeah. I can't care.
I always wonder if how old am I? In 25 years when retirement time comes in, I'm going to be like, I should have spent more time making friends.
Yeah, no, maybe it swings the other way.
I'm really hoping that on the other end, there's more people coming out like into the sunlight saying the same thing. And I'm like, you'll do.
Yeah.
Number nine, old life chapters that are still lingering half open. I don't have much of that.
Nah, not really.
I don't even know what that is.
I feel pretty in the moment, present. Last one, the belief that we always need more than we have. So contentment. I'm not, I don't know. I'm kind of in hot pursuit of that still, I think.
Yeah, me too.
And it's not just money. Sometimes it's time.
For me, it's mostly money.
Or it's money so you can have time.
Yeah, I want to buy more time.
Yeah. The YouTube live chat poll, we asked you with 228 votes, do you share your political persuasion? 7% of you said no, you're uncomfortable. Oh, look at you people.
You're
not uncomfortable. 10% said no because it's no one's business. So 17% of you said no. 29% of you said, yeah, you share that political persuasion anytime you can. And 55% of you are passive aggressively sharing your political persuasion. And that's what I am too. High fives to all of you and thumbs up to the Brads of the world who say, yeah, I'm telling anybody anywhere, any way that I can. Thanks for voting today. Thanks for watching. Go to AnnieFryShow.com to contact us, give us feedback, listen to the podcast, and keep it here. Mark Reardon next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.